Welcome to A Break in the Action, where we take a break from the business of our days to focus on outdoor pursuits and the traditional sporting lifestyle. Join us for discussion and interviews on vintage and modern break action shotguns, sporting literature, outdoor leisure, and reviews of best-in-class gear, accessories, and destinations. So pour yourself a drink, sit back, relax, and let's take a break in the action. Now here's your host, shotgun collector, wing shooter, and sporting clays enthusiast, Ryan Dowdy.
Ah, if you're anything like me, hearing that tune brings back great memories. In the late 1990s, I had only just discovered shotguns, wing shooting, and clay targets. Not growing up around guns or hunting, I was anxious to deep dive into this new hobby. There were a few periodicals that I got excited about, but there wasn't anything for me that I looked forward to more than new episodes of the Shotgun Journal. Hosts Bruce Scott and Marty Fisher traveled domestically and abroad with shotguns in tow and brought viewers right along with them. Each episode was equal parts shotgun talk, techniques, etiquette, and adventure. A huge inspiration for this podcast project came from my love of this show. As a matter of fact, one of the first people that I ever reached out to for a podcast interview was Bruce in mid-2019. Bruce immediately agreed to an interview to help me get started. Sadly, I hesitated to set anything up, and Bruce passed away in the fall of that year. What a terrible missed opportunity. Earlier this year, I reached out to Marty Fisher. Marty brought a technical knowledge of shotguns and clay target shooting that were foundational to me in my early shooting days. Where Bruce enjoyed discussing the finer points of his newly ordered classic double shotgun, Marty was laser focused on analyzing the shots and explaining the technique needed to connect shot to bird. In my mind, these two were paired perfectly, and the success of the Shotgun Journal is a testament to that. I am thrilled to introduce you to my guest today, Marty Fisher. Marty, as host of Wing and Clay Nation, you certainly don't need much of an introduction from me. Why don't you get us started by telling how you and Bruce met and how the Shotgun Journal came to be?
Well, it was, quite frankly, was very, very interesting. I wound up in the very early 90s being the shooting pro on a television show on ESPN called Suzuki Great Outdoors. Mm-hmm. And Suzuki Great Outdoors was a celebrity-based outdoor show that was hosted by Steve Bartkowski, who was a former quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
And after Steve, it became Dick Butkus and Larry Zonka and Burt Jones and Will Clark. I mean, just all really well-known names. And they needed somebody that could shoot birds, because they were bringing all of these guests on there and they weren't getting many birds shot. So they said, we need a designated killer. And of all things, I wound up in that role for 4 years. But as part of that show, we went to the Buffalo Bill Celebrity Shootout event in Cody, Wyoming. Well, at the time, Bruce lived in Cody. That was where he and his son Richard actually lived. Bruce was in the printing business. He had a print shop there, in addition to doing the sunrise videos, the instructional clay target videos that they were doing. And, you know, and they were the largest producer of instructional clay target videos in the world. And when they were there filming this celebrity shootout, which they had a pro celebrity five stand day, and of all things, I wound up winning that. And Bruce and I got to be pretty good friends, you know, over those few days that we were there. And we started talking about doing some outdoor television that was specifically geared towards shotgunning, wing shooting, clay shooting, fine guns, things of that nature. And
Marty, let me interrupt you. Mm-hmm. Was that the middle to late 90s?
Yes, mid after 95, getting into 96, I actually was an on-camera host for a show also called Direct Hit, which was aired on the Outdoor Life Network, done by the same production company that was doing the Suzuki show. So I got to be an on-camera guy for that and met the director of programming for the Outdoor Life Network, a gentleman named Peter Engelhart. And Pete and I talked for a while, and I pitched an idea for the wing shooting show, called Bruce and said, hey, I think we've got something working here. And the rest is history. I mean, the Outdoor Life Network took the show, and then we proceeded to do years and years and years of great times all over the world.
I think I saw where there were like 8 seasons of the show. That has to make you pretty proud that it was so well received.
Yes, we did almost 120 episodes. Mm. And the networks actually wanted us to do 26 shows a year,
golly,
which is not easy to do. I mean, 26 is a lot of travel, a lot of time away from home, a lot of time away from families, and we did that 1 or 2 years, because when we would go out of the country, we would always make it a point to go where we could do multiple shows. We wouldn't go somewhere just to do one show. I think the only times we ever did only one show were two of my favorites, and you know, I'm sure you'll ask me about these later, but we, you know, one to Spain and one to Hungary, and you know, those were very memorable, and I'll be happy to talk about them here in a little bit. But other than that, I mean, we kind of bounced around. I mean, I've been to Argentina 17 times. I've been, wow, to Bolivia. I've been to Uruguay, you know, with Bruce, Mexico many, many, many times, all over the provinces of Canada, all over the United States, South Africa, over to Europe. You know, it was just a phenomenal run for that period of time. Mm.
Well, you brought it up, so I have to ask, of all the episodes and all of your travels, do you have one that stands out as a favorite?
I think that the trip that we did to Spain was probably the most memorable trip that we did for me. And the reason for that, I'm a bit of a history buff anyway. You know, I'm an old guy. So, you know, I actually enjoyed history when I was in school and wanted to learn about it. And when we decided that we were going to do this shoot in Spain, we were only going to shoot one day. One day, the last day of their season. And so we flew into Madrid, then transferred over to Barcelona, got picked up by our outfitter, and we went up toward the Pyrenees Mountains, you know, very close to the Andorra border. And we were in the Spanish region of Catalonia. And every region of Spain has a different cuisine and a different dialect. And I mean, it's almost like different countries. Like we have different states.
Right.
The provinces in Spain are almost like different countries. I mean, they really are. And we stayed in just a remarkable little boutique hotel surrounded by the mountains. We went into the little town there. They still had the aquifer in place that ran water that was built in Roman times. Mm. Was still in operation. You know, so little things like that really made it special. And then when we got to shoot, the outfitter's program was typically 50 birds per gun per day for, 2 days of shooting. And since this was our last, the last day for him, he says, okay, guys, we'll shoot a few more birds than that today. He says, you know, you're doing television. He said, you know, we had seven guns, Bruce and myself, the outfitter, two of his friends from Spain, and two gentlemen from Scotland were all on the on the hunt or on the shoot. And I had never done it before, never done driven red-leg partridge in my life. They give you a secretary who actually logs in everything that you do. She sat there and she counted every bird that I shot, and you get a loader. And I was not doing two guns. I was just doing one gun. And I'm left-handed, so I had to get with my guy, and, you know, he got up on my left side. And the way that show, by the way, if you go to YouTube and search Shotgun Journal, it's actually on the YouTube under the Shotgun Journal TV, the trip to Spain. And so it's something that people can watch. And so the first drive, I looked at where we were, and, I mean, it was a tall hillside, and I said, oh, my gosh, Bruce, I hope I've got enough choke. Well, I got lucky, and I say that because, I mean, those birds really fly. Got lucky and pulled out about 6 or 7 feet in front of the first one and killed it. And I, you know, and they pretty much all were going to come at the same speed at that point and the same height. So it's pretty much the same shot. You just got to be able to make it.
Right.
So we got done with the first drive, and my secretary, she says, Mr. Fisher, you had 55. So I'm already over the guy's daily limit now with the first drive. And we go to the second drive, and I look around, and the outfitter is standing on the peg next to me this time. And I guess he tried to figure it out, okay, who shot what birds? Let me get close to the guy that's shooting well. Well, the second drive, the lady says, Mr. Fisher, you had 96 that time.
Oh, my gosh.
So the guy comes over to me, and he doesn't speak the best of English, and he says, "What? I need to know, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, what are you doing? And I said, I don't understand the question. He says, "You're not missing." And I said, well, am I supposed to miss? Yeah, and you know what, Ryan? It was one of those days, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have them. You know, if your timing is really good, you can look like the all-star of the world, okay? And on that given day, Marty was pretty darn good. At the end of the day, I actually shot 242 of his red-leg partridge. And he was not a very happy guy because, you know,
I think my favorite episode had to be the driven pheasants in Hungary episode. That was really the first time I'd ever even seen anything like that. You both really got to see and experience some amazing places.
Well, I'm very, very blessed.
Did you always travel with your gun?
Almost every time. Just about every, the only time that we didn't was, for whatever reason, we just didn't take them to Mexico very much. You know, I grew up shooting a semi-automatic shotgun. I shoot Beretta automatics very, very well. And when you go to most of those places, if you go down to Argentina, you go to Mexico, or, you know, the outfitters typically are going to have either Benelli or Beretta automatic shotguns. So, you know, I felt pretty comfortable with that. When I went to the other countries, I did, in fact, take my own gun because, you know, for the longest time, I shot almost all of my life and never had a gun that fit me. And then when I finally, you know, got one that fit, I wanted to make sure that I took it with me because, you know, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, definitely. When you find a gun that fits, you need to stick with it. So,
Yes, you do.
So Spain was a favorite. Does any particular show stand out as being tough, or maybe just one of those days where you couldn't connect with anything? Or,
well, let me say this. Probably the most difficult shooting that I ever got faced with when doing the show was when we went to South Africa. And for the first time, I had a chance to shoot South African rock pigeons that were coming from out of the mountains over these sunflower fields. And Bruce and I, we didn't really know how to do this. You know, I'm an old, you know, just an old redneck kid from the South. I mean, I grew up in a dove field, squatting down, in a cornfield.
Right.
And when it was time to shoot, I'd, you know, stand up a little bit and pull the trigger. Well, you do that on rock pigeons, and they can turn 90 degrees at 60 miles an hour. And it sounds like a jet airplane turning. Well, after the fact, we found out that the South Africans that shoot never stand up. They sit down, and they don't want the birds to see movement so that it freaks them out. And it took a little bit of time to really get dialed in to the speed of those birds. I mean, they were very, very aerobatic. I mean, they could do some crazy things. That show also is on YouTube, and if you watch that one, you'll get a chance to laugh with Bruce and I a little bit. I still shot really well, but not the typical 90%+ that I normally shoot on that type of stuff.
And the show ran until about 2010. Is that right?
What it was, I think it was either 2009 maybe, because I started doing the TNT Outdoor Explosion show with another gentleman in 2010. So that would have been 2009, and we actually started in the late 90s.
Okay.
So we did, and when you say you did the research 8 years, it was either 8 or 9 years that we did the show.
I'd imagine you and Bruce got and stayed pretty close during those 8 seasons. Did you stay close with him afterwards?
We did. Yes, we did. Actually, I did another show for a while myself, and Bruce and Richard edited the show for me. So we stayed friends forever. I mean, it was family. Our families liked each other. We didn't live close together, but we did stay in touch, and we'd see each other from time to time. And you're right, the chemistry there. Bruce was a very no nonsense, somewhat dry, very artistic guy. He was a skeet shooter. He was a skeet shooter who was learning to shoot birds. I was a bird shooter who was learning to shoot clays. And that's really why it all worked the way that it did. And a lot of times, we we could have spread out and shot a lot more birds than we did, but you don't have television if you do that. So we always wanted to shoot in the same blind in the duck marsh. We always shot close enough together where we could talk to each other when we were shooting doves or pigeons or whatever it may be. And, without conversation, you really don't have a show. And one of the things that Bruce and we made a point to do one thing: make sure that at the end of every show, the audience had a chance to learn something without us ever talking down to them. Mm-hmm. We wanted people, when the show was over, to say, you know what, I learned something today that I did not know.
Right.
And so we always wanted to make it educational as well as entertaining, but we never wanted to make the audience feel like we were, a bunch of smart guys. We were just out there, two buddies having fun, making TV.
Yeah. As mentioned in my intro, Bruce passed in 2019. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to say about him or about working with him?
The one thing that I liked about Bruce was his straightforward manner, his no-nonsense approach, his demand for excellence. When we tried to do TV, we wanted to have fun, but we wanted to make sure, and he certainly wanted to make sure, that what we put on air was a little bit different from what everybody else was doing. You didn't see all the hoorahs and the hand slaps and all of that stuff that you see now. We had a great respect for every bird that we harvested, every one of them. And, that's another thing that I loved about going to Europe. We did the thing in Hungary for the driven pheasants, which was probably my number two all-time favorite show. And when they put all of those birds in a circle and had a fire there and actually you know, said prayers over the birds and all of that. There's a respect there that that you just don't find everywhere. And Bruce and I, for that matter, look at each other and said that respect is going to be there every time we do a show. And I you know, I carry that thought process with me every day of my life. And I think, you know, Bruce was a big part of it, that being the case. But I thoroughly appreciate this opportunity to talk about this Shotgun Journal show. This is, I mean, it's something that I think about every day, and I do. There's not a day that goes by that there's not some memory of that Shotgun Journal show and my travels around the world with Bruce and Richard. It was phenomenal.
Well, the collection of shows was really special to all of us, too. Well, Marty, to start wrapping up, let me ask you a question that's starting to become a regular for me at the end of an episode. What shotgun are you currently shooting?
Some years ago, and on the show, I shot Berettas, I shot Cesar Guarinis. I wound up shooting a Blosser, and all of those companies, you know, jumped in and became sponsors of the show. The gun that I, and I like them all, make no mistake, I like every one of them. The gun that I shot absolutely the best was a left-handed Blosser, a new gun that they've got, the F-16. They actually asked me to be the spokesperson for that gun when it first got launched, and I did for a couple of years. And that's the gun that I shoot now. I shoot a Blosser F-16 30-inch sporting. I shoot it for clays. I shoot it for birds. I literally shoot it for everything. And the only time I'll switch it up is if I'm going to go down and shoot my 20 gauges, and most of the time I'll just pull out my Beretta 391 20 gauge, and that's what I'll shoot. So I don't have a super fancy, very expensive shotgun, but what I have is shotguns that are remarkably serviceable, and if I put them in the right place, they're going to do the job. I won't ever look at the gun and say you missed it. If I ever miss a bird, it's me. But I love those particular two guns.
Yeah, I'm a Blosser fan right now too. I had what was probably the perfect gun for me, a Blosser F3 for clays that I shot better than anything I've had for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I thought I wanted to get back into shooting a K80 and traded it for one of the newer K80 parkour guns. I could not shoot it well. Yeah, I think I'm on the hunt for another F3 right now. I haven't shot an F16. They're pretty much similar, aren't they?
Well, the 16 was actually designed to be a crossover gun.
Okay.
For hunting and for clays. It's a little bit of a different weight. It's only a little over a 7-pound gun. It's not extremely heavy. Like, you know, I have a clays gun that weighs just over 7 pounds. Now, you can put weights in it. I mean, they've got it set up where you can add the weight in the front, add the weight in the back, things of that nature. I never did that. I'm shooting the gun right out of the box, and it's the left-handed model that, you know, I don't need a lot of cast in a gun. Fortunately, the Blosser doesn't put a lot of cast in their guns, and it just literally fit me as perfect as anything I've ever shot right out of the box. Mm. And so I didn't want to play with it. I didn't want to modify it. I like it the way it is, and as I say, if I do my job, it certainly does its job.
All right. Well, I think that's how we're going to end this episode. Marty, thank you for the work you did to give us the Shotgun Journal. Mm-hmm. I know it's been really special for me to just tell you how much I enjoyed what both of you guys created. So thank you.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thank you. Good night. You have a great evening, my friend. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of A Break in the Action. Want to hear your voice on a future episode? Leave a message ask a question, or suggest a topic on our listener line at 317-662-4520. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at abreakintheaction.com.